Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is acclaimed angel artist, Ann Nielsen. Ann is on the show today talking about how a little object goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Ann is sharing her personal story of passion and hope and how faith radiates from every canvas of her life. Through her book, The Brush Strokes of Life, she will help you see there are no coincidences with God. Ann believes that each of us begins our life as a blank canvas, clean, fresh, and ready to find texture in our experiences. Each trial, each joy, each heartache, and each hope leaves an explosion of color and sweeping brushstrokes that shape us. When we allow God to take over as the master artist, we will find that He carefully adds dimension and highlights to create a beautiful masterpiece in us. Often, though, it's hard to find the beauty when we are wading through the mess. God is the artist of our life. Creations are messy, but the divine artist never fails to reveal a masterpiece. Hello, Ann, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I love the name, Love Offering.
Oh, well,
it's such a beautiful name. Great picture.
We hope, that's the hope, is that, you know, God has offered us His love and given us that love. And so how are we going to go and offer it to the world around us through the different gifts and talents and resources and the ways that He has gifted each of us uniquely. And I shared with you right before we got started that I have been seeing your work in little boutiques in my little Somerset town of Kentucky. You know, I've been seeing it for such a long time. And so it's such a pleasure and an honor to get to talk with you today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. So can't wait to share the journey. It's been a journey.
So today's conversation is all about how a little object goes a long way. Based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. And you are a lifelong artist. So I'd love for you just to begin today's conversation by telling us about your earliest memories of creating art.
Oh, I love that. I would like to say I'm a lifelong artist, but I knew as a little girl when I was 8, I wanted to be an artist. In fact, I wrote a paper in the third grade, what do you want to be when you grow up? And highlighted was, I wanted to be an artist. Fast forward, I was not the greatest student. I think I doodled more than I, you know, learned arithmetic or, you know, spelling. And 10th grade art class, I made a D minus. True story.
No.
I think I was coloring outside of the lines and my art teacher did not like that. But so I don't really think of me as a lifelong artist. I know that God deposited that desire and that dream in a little girl, that it took so many, you know, twists and turns and bumps in the road to get to where I am. And I flunked out of college. It took me 8 years to kind of get my life back together. And I did go back to school, to college, and I graduated with an elementary education degree, and I taught third grade for 1 year. And that whole year, that is when the artistic bubbled up. And whether we were doing a math class or subject or a science project, I incorporated art in everything. And so, that's kind of the start of it all. And that year I had a little hand-painted dinnerware line that I started, and that was the birth of the career. So
I love so much about that story. Gosh.
I love that you say He takes a little thing and it goes, I mean, I look back and see, you know, just the desire that a little girl had and how God took that, and it's, He gets all the glory for everything. But yeah, it was quite a journey. I had a pottery line, quite successful for a couple of years, and then I met my husband. We had 4 children very quickly, and I put all that artistic dream on hold. And I'll never forget coming home from it was a art show that a friend had, you know, she had picked up the paintbrush. And I came home that night just sobbing to my husband, like, I've got to create. I know that this is what God created me to be. And my husband said the most profound thing. He goes, there'll be a time for that, but right now is the time for you to be with your children. So then, he was very wise, and I love being a mom, even as, when they're adult children. But we built our house 20 years ago, about 20 years ago, and that's when I picked the paintbrush back up, and that's when God had, this journey of painting oils and angels, and here we are today, 20 years later.
I just think that there's so much in what you said that is so encouraging, that the patience and the little steps in stewarding what God has given you each and every day. I think that spoke to me. And then also the fact that sometimes society and culture around us, the fact that you got a D in art is almost just laughable. And the, you know, and it just, and I just imagine how many creative people, maybe if you're not just doing things necessarily by the rules,
Yeah.
like, isn't that?
Well, and there's a chapter in my new book, and The Brushstrokes of Life, and it's a chapter about no. And when I was in high school, and I knew I you know I think I doodled my way through life, and I'd be in history class, and I'd be in just doodling mushrooms and frogs and caricatures and whatever in my history notes. That's why I probably made a D in history too. But I kept getting no, you can't go to art school. No, you cannot, have a career being an artist. No, you will be a starving artist. No. And that's kind of, don't listen to the no's in your life. Don't, there were a lot of roadblocks, along this journey. And I kept having to seek and surrender and trust and push through. And God does the rest.
Oh, and I'm so glad that you did push through, because now we get to enjoy your art. And so actually, so you talked about this, but in 2003, you began painting with oils and quickly became nationally renowned for your ethereal. Is that how you say that? Angels?
Ethereal,
Ethereal.
ethereal.
I probably should edit that out, but I won't. Angel series. And your paintings are inspiring reflections of your faith. So why is your faith so important to you, and how does your creativity connect you with the creativity of God?
Well, I, going back to that little girl, I did have a very powerful experience. It was almost a dream about Jesus when I was 8. And so I knew he was real. And you'll read in my book, I had a rocky childhood. My parents divorced when I was 5, and kind of awkward, shy, trying to figure out who am I? And but I knew I was a child of God, and I knew that God had a plan for my life, and I knew that plan was to prosper and give me hope and a future. And so, God was very important for me in those years, even in my 20s when I wandered and kept him at arm's length. So when I did pick up that paintbrush, we had built our home. We outgrew our little house that we were in with my 4 kids. So we built a home. And in that home, I built a little studio off the kitchen. And that way, when the kids were off at school, I mean, I got in there and I just made a mess. I had never painted in oils. I love oils. I love mixing color. I love just everything about painting. True story, I hadn't started painting angels yet, but I painted this little still life of a pear. And I was really proud of my pear. And my daughter came home from school that day, and she looked at it and she said, "Mom, you need some art lessons." Like, dang, I really like that painting. Anyway, and then fast forward, I did go get art lessons, and I was painting landscapes and still lives and children and figures, whatever. But I wanted something that reflected my faith, and experimented with, I did abstract crosses. I, did all kinds of stuff. And then I painted this one angel. It was bright colors, experimented with texture and color. And I sent a picture to my sister and I said, "What do you think?" And she said, "I think you found your voice." And that just was kind of the start of this journey. And I paint, let me back up. I paint to praise music. So it's my time of worship and really just, you know, drowning out the noise of the world, putting on that praise music, staring at a blank canvas and allowing the Holy Spirit just to flow, you know, through me onto that canvas and create these ethereal beings. And I never dreamed that 20 years later, I would still be painting angels. They've kind of changed and evolved over the course of these years and form and structure and, you know, composition. But I think what really makes them unique, and there's a story out there. It's about 5 years ago. I was preparing for an art show in Florida. And as I was painting and praising and praying, I was just like, Lord, I don't want to just crank out these paintings. You know, I really want them to connect with the collector or the viewer or the person. And so if I'm to quit, you know, you have got to make it crystal clear and show me. So prayed that prayer. I'll never forget that. I can remember exactly where I was. I can even probably remember what, you know, color was on my palette. I get to the show and there was a girl that had just lost her father. And I signed a book because I had my big coffee table book that was just released. And I signed a book for her and I, you know, gave her a hug and she left the gallery. And then she beelined back around and she came back sobbing. And she said, I've never had art speak to me the way that painting at the front door spoke to my heart. And so it was just a kind of a, okay, Lord, this is not about me. It's a ministry. It's about you and what you can do through art. So,
yeah, that segues beautifully into the question that I wanted to ask you. So how do you hope that your art ministers to people to connect them with the Lord?
I just really, you know, supernatural. I mean, I want people to have that, a deeper connection with God. And I tell people all the time, we don't worship the angels. You know, we worship a God who created these angels, and angels are on this earth for a specific reason and purpose. And I used to pray that, you know, oh, just put a guardian angel around my children. And I'm like, no. We want a host of warring angels, you know, around my children, around my marriage, around my businesses, around, you know. So again, I paint to the praise music, and there's so many times whether I'm praying for a specific piece that I'm working on for a client who's lost a loved one, and through the music, through the words, through the song, God just speaks. There was one painting I was doing for a friend. She had lost her husband, and every time I went to go work on, you know, the art, the angels, this song kept coming through, and it was just random. It was just a Pandora playlist, and that song would always play. And it was, I can't remember the lyrics went something like, I know you've lost a loved one before it's time. And it was just so comforting. So I printed out the words, got the CD, gave it to them. It's just a comforting, you know, message that we serve a God who loves us, who carries us. There is hope in this world, and it's just a reminder through this art that He is there. He sees us. He loves us no matter what. So hopefully there's a deep connection, just like that girl, you know, had. And I hear that all the time through clients and collectors that come through my doors and share their story. And it truly has been an amazing journey, because this was, you know, a desire of a little girl that wanted to be an artist. It was a hobby over those, you know, 10 years. 10 years ago, I self-published a coffee table book, and it was called Angels in Our Midst. And I sent a copy to Kathy Lee Gifford. Everybody's like, why Kathy? And I said, well, I love her heart. I watched her when I was doing pottery, the Regis and Kathy Lee show forever ago. And Marketing 101, she is on the Today Show, and I have a book that I need to get promoted. So anyway, we had a divine appointment connection, and she came to this show that I was having in Connecticut, And then she held the book up on the Today Show the next day, and or that Monday. And then a couple of weeks later, I get a phone call from a lady. She's in, I think it was Oklahoma, Ohio, somewhere. And she said, I got to tell you, I lost my 4-year-old granddaughter 2 years ago, and I have not been able to grieve. And I read your book cover to cover, and it's like the floodgates of heaven have opened up and the healing process has begun. And so I'm like, okay, this has now shifted to a ministry. And so that's kind of where we are today. It's was a hobby, a passion, and now a ministry. So
beautiful. And two, before I forget this thought, you still had to take classes. You still had to work through, you know, like maybe the pear wasn't as beautiful as you hoped the pear would be. You know, you experimented and you kept trying and kept going, and it's turned into what it is today. So just because God has maybe gifted you in an area doesn't mean that there's not work still to be done to make it better.
Amen.
To improve,
amen.
Right?
Amen. Well, and I love to tell this to a lot of my, you know, my team and just anybody, but God has given, he gave me a paintbrush. And like you said, I love, someone might have a spatula, someone might have a hammer, but we hold on to that. But what we really have to do is surrender. We have to open our hands to the Lord. And with open hands and an open heart, he will go before us and paved that way. So there are a lot of, you know, rough times. And am I supposed to be doing this, holding tight to this paintbrush, where I would have to pause, be still, and let go, and, you know, trust what is the path that the Lord wants me to be on? So, and I did have to take lessons, which I did. And you come away with nuggets. You come away with, you know, little treasures of nuggets. But I believe that, you know, finding this voice, it truly has become my life song over these 20 plus years.
Which now, so you mentioned your coffee table books, and now you've written a memoir titled The Brushstrokes of Life. And you say that all of our lives begin with a blank canvas. So I'd love for you to elaborate more on that thought.
Well, you know, you think about it, we come into this world, we're these precious little babies, and we are a blank canvas. And then we start, you know, walking in the world, and, you know, the world affects us in one way or another. And I am a incredibly messy painter. I, you know, love to make a mess of my palette. I love to see how God creates a message out of that mess. And so I feel like even though, you know, we come in as a blank canvas, we live this world, we walk in this world, we let this world sometimes affect us. And you'll read in my, you know, my memoir, you know, my life is, it was messy at times, but the way we allow the Lord to come in and create a beautiful message out of that mess. And he is the master artist. You know, he knows what he's doing. So it's been a beautiful journey.
I have to tell you just this really brief story. So a friend of mine, for her birthday, we went to one of these like painting classes, and we all got to choose what we wanted to paint, and we were going to try to mimic it. And everybody said, oh, painting is so therapeutic, you're going to love it. Yeah. But honestly, that blank canvas to make that very first stroke, I had almost like just such nervousness. Like, I don't want to mess this up. This fear that is that ridiculous? But then when you were saying like mixing the colors, like that part, and then like once I started, got going, then I'm like, ooh, I really love this. And 4 hours went by like the blink of an eye. Yeah.
Well, and there's such freedom in that. There's no mistakes in art. And I feel like, you know, I just that's a beautiful. And I did, you know, when I first started, I was like, oh my gosh, like, where do I put this? Or how do I do that? With that first pair, I was like, oh, I did come away loving it. But to me, it was very, you know, elementary. It probably didn't have the depth or the, you know, contrast that it should have had, but I loved it. And so, I don't know, there's something about painting. And I love that quote from Pablo Picasso that every child is an artist. The fact is they forget when they grow up. I feel like, you know, we forget that. And we serve the master artist who created us to be creative. Now, not everybody has to be, you know, an artist, but he created us to, you know, do something incredible. What's in your hand? What is it?
Yeah. So let's dive in deeper into that. And so you want readers to know that God has deposited a gift inside of each of them. So what leads you to believe this? And I actually agree with you. So since we think that's true, how do we find that?
I don't know. I think, I think that if you're in a season of searching, the best place to find that is to be still and to be still with the Lord and to really, you know, I love to journal. Now, I'm not the most organized journaler. I'll pick up journals. I'm like, oh, I haven't journaled in a month. But there were days that I sat and I journaled a lot with the Lord. And that's a great way to pour out your heart, whatever, you know. And I also want to tell people, you know, go back to that little person. You know, what was your desire and your dreams as a little person? And, you know, really communicate that with the Lord. And because he gives you the desires of your hearts. And what are those desires? And so I think that, again, I think the world comes and it tells you no, or it says you can't do this or you can't do that. And I will say today's world, you know, we've got our phones right handy. We've got social media right handy. The comparison is a thief of joy. And it's really hard, even for me as, you know, an artist and a businesswoman and a gallery owner and everything, to not compare, to keep your eyes fixed and focused on him. What is he doing in my life? What is he doing in your life? And have those open hands and an open heart to receive, and take a leap of faith. You might fail. I try to tell my daughter this: step out in faith. If you fail, it's okay. He will pick you up. He will put your feet back on that path. So, and it's like you know, you're that fearful, you know, of putting that first step. Don't be fearful. Take that away. Take that off the table. I think, you know, be still, and really seek, what is God trying to tell me?
Yeah.
And don't compare. Don't compare. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yes. I'm just thinking about, and I don't know that this even pertains to our conversations, but it's coming to my mind. What if there is something in our hands that we don't necessarily even love? You know, sometimes I'm thinking about like my vacuum, my duster, yeah. Sometimes the dishes. You know, how can we be thankful and grateful and learn in whatever God has placed in our hands? In hopes that maybe someday he'll exchange it for something else.
Well, and I think that becomes, you know, the act of gratitude, no matter what, wherever we are. We've got to have, you know, wake up every day and again, washing the dishes, you know, taking out the trash or whatever it might be that we might grumble about. If we can have that attitude of gratitude, and just thank him for the little things in life. And God, I think about, especially now, to really, you know, every day is a gift. And wherever you are in that season of life, whether, you know, you're a mom picking up toys and like me back in the day, I mean, I so wanted to be an artist. But that was my season of picking up toys and driving carpools and, you know, getting down on the floor and playing, you know, Polly Pockets with my children. And that was the season that I'm in, and be grateful for that, because in a second, it could be gone. And I just, my heart is just very sad about what has happened in Nashville. We had a lot of people that were, you know, deeply connected to the families that lost loved ones. And so trying to redirect and really have a Thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that you have given me.
You know,
let me
yeah, and you talk about in your book finding beauty when we're wading through the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you just said there, it feels like such a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we serve a God that makes beauty from ashes somehow, whether
yeah.
we can understand it in our humanness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just, yeah.
Yeah. It's honestly, in many ways, I don't have the words.
I don't have the words. That's why I paint the angels.
Mm.
And I really, you know, there's a beautiful story. Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mary Beth Chapman. I listen to their music. I'm not going to say I have a favorite Christian artist because I love them all. And, you know, their music has been so impactful in my painting process. And about, I guess it's been 15 years ago when their little girl, Maria Sue, tragically was killed, I went into mourning. I'm like, and I don't even know them. I did know them. There's a story in this. But I just was like, you know, what could I do? And so I put my praise music on and I started painting a small painting for them. And it was had pastel colors, which it was not my typical palette, but pastel colors and a little girl facing backward, you know, with her hair tousled in a little red ponytail with a real red ponytail holder. And that painting sat in my studio for about a month or so. And I didn't know how to get it to the Chapmans. I finally found an avenue. If I got it to this person, could get it to them, to get it to them. I mean, yeah. So out of obedience, because I felt that nudge, send it. I'm like, yeah, they're not, I mean, why? I mean, the colors are not going to match their home. I mean, kind of had that doubt, that, you know, doubt creep over my, you know, mind. And so anyway, finally I sent it. And a couple of months later, I am in a Bible study and I'm leading a small group, but our large group lesson was how we have such a big God, but we tend to keep him in a small box. And I was telling my small little group about the painting and how I had painted this painting, and out of obedience, I sent it to him. My small God was kept in a box because I said, I probably will never hear from them, but out of obedience, I sent it to them. Well, that day I get in my car and I'm scrolling through my phone and I had an email from their assistant. I think her name was Grace. And she said, oh my gosh, they about dropped the painting. The colors are the exact same colors of their home. And little Maria Sue always wore her hair tousled in a red ponytail holder. And so at that moment, I just sat there and I sobbed. And I'm like, never again will I keep God in a small box. We believe big things. But that's just kind of the way that, you know, the Lord works through me onto that blank canvas to minister to the people out there who are hurting and grieving. And I've seen it time and time again. It's not about me, but it's about him bringing comfort to this world. So yeah, I have no words, but I have a paintbrush.
That brings tears to my eyes and such an encouragement to offer what we have, to listen to his spirit's leading, his prompting, and be obedient, no
yeah.
matter how it may feel or seem to us. And I think, and what I love so much about what you do is you're using God's gifts that he's given you, something you do enjoy, but it's to bless other people and to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whatever he has for everybody listening right now, whatever object he's given you,
yeah,
whatever it's in your hand, the it's yes, hopefully for your enjoyment. Yes, hopefully to
yeah.
this outward expression to help other people and to glorify him.
Yeah.
And Amen. I think that that's what's so beautiful about what you do on a daily basis. And so as we come to a close, I'd love to hear, and I think I know, obviously God's given you a paintbrush, but I'd love any other story that you have. How has a little object gone a long way in your own life?
Oh gosh. I mean, yeah, that you just, it's, It's that paintbrush. I mean, who would have dreamed? And I go back to that little girl to say, you know, God sees you and he has a plan for you. And wow, what a plan it is. And one of my favorite verses, there are many, is Ephesians 3:20, that God will do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. And God's word is so important to me and in my life. And it's really exciting because that paintbrush, and because of the angels, in October of 2024, there'll be two Bibles that have the angels, with 25 angels in the interiors. And so that just is it's just a wow, God, look what you can do when you have something, and he, you know, he does immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine.
Amen. And I am just thinking how your art and your ministry will continue to live on for generation after generation after generation. And everything we do, really, all for all of us, it will live on. Our choices, our actions, our behaviors, our obedience, it matters today.
Yes,
so use whatever God has given you in your hand today to glorify him and to help other people. So, Anne, I know
be
I
wanna, encouraged.
Yeah, I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure
listeners
want to and purchase your books, and I can't wait for the Bible and all of the things. So tell us how we can get in contact with you and purchase your resources.
Gosh, so we've got you know, all the product line, and the books can be found everywhere, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, anywhere you can find books. And then we have a product line because, you know, we want to get the angels. Not everybody can afford original, but we've got products that will bless people through, you know, whether we've got scripture cards or note card line or, you know, acrylic line, whatever. So that is annielsenhome.com. And then I do have, like, I have nothing else to do in my life. 9 years ago, I opened an art gallery, and everybody thinks it's my art, but we represent 60 artists all over the world. And my dream for that, you know, we want to be a lighthouse, not only in our community, but beyond the doors of our community. And we give back through art. There's a quick story. I don't know if you've read the book, Same Kind of Different as Me.
Yes.
Okay. So it's about an international art dealer and a homeless man. And I read that book and knew that Ron, the art dealer, needed an angel. And so I painted an angel. I sent it on to him, and we became close, close friends. So I was with Ron about, I don't know, 15 years ago. And I said, you know, what was the latest painting you sold and how much did you sell it for? And he said, it was so big. It was a Remington. And I sold it for $7.5 million. And I'm like, oh, we could change the world. And my husband said, honey, that artist is deceased. Stick around. So anyway, that's the whole premise of why we have an art gallery. Ron's been a huge supporter and encourager, and the, you know, using our art and partnering with different organizations. So that is annielsenfineart.com. So anyway, it's been a blessing to use that paintbrush and that desire for the kingdom.
You are a blessing and an inspiration and a joy. And I am just so happy and honored that you were my guest today. And encouraged to use what God has given me in my hand. And I hope everybody feels the same today after hearing our conversation. Thank you so much.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode with Anne Nielsen. We pray that you believe that you're a masterpiece and that a little object goes a long way. This week, your little task is to take inventory of what God has placed in your hands. Pray that you steward well what he has given you. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can download free resources like the list tracker, the conversation guide, and the guided journal, and you can learn to leave a review for this podcast and for the Little Goes a Long Way devotional, just so more women can find and hear this love offering message. Next week, my guest is Jennifer Dukes Lee. She's on the show going to talk about how a little letter goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.